Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by our special speakers, Pastors Lori Walls, Allison Ortega, and Josh Ortega. This message was recorded on July 19th, 2015, and is entitled, Better Choices.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice. We were all lost at some point, and now we're found. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all that's within it, Lord. We thank you for the excitement of the word, the anointing of the speakers today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to speak truth into our hearts. You're going to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just release this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Awesome. Awesome. Yes. That's okay. We can encourage them, can't we? You know, they spend a lot of time. There we go. They spend a lot of time preparing and helping us to get into that Holy of Holies, preparing our hearts for the Word. Well, as I mentioned, we've got a really exciting morning for you. We've got three anointed, incredible speakers, and I'm really excited to hear the Word. And I don't know how much they've compared notes, but I think you're going to find that there's a flow of the Spirit in what they have to share with us this morning. So what I'd like to do, first of all, is I'd like to invite Allison Ortega. She's our children's pastor. Can we just encourage her a little bit? All right.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. I appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. For those of you that I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, I'm Pastor Allison. I'm our high school and our children's pastor here at Hope Chapel. And last week, I had the wonderful joy of taking our kids up to camp. And we had such a good time. And this week, I get to take our high schoolers up to camp. And I'm just so excited. I get to be part of our team that's doing that. So if you could keep us in prayer this week, we're taking, I think, almost 25 people up to camp this week. And we're excited for what the Lord's going to do in their lives. And so back in May, Josh and I got to go on vacation. And we do love going on vacation. Who doesn't love going on vacation? I mean, really. And I was out doing devos. We were in Big Bear, and the Lord had just put this word on my heart. And I am so excited to share it with you today. And I know, I pray that he speaks to you and that you just hear from it. And he brought me to John 6, and that's where I'm going to be reading from today. But before that, I'm going to pray for us this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word, God. I thank you that, Lord, your word above all else is truth. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you will just speak to your people, God, and you'll just have a word for them in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to set up a little bit what's going on in this chapter because it's a long chapter. And in the time we have this morning, I'm not going to get to share the whole thing. And so Jesus is out on the Sea of Galilee, and he's performing the miracle of the fish and the bread, and he's feeding the 5,000 people. So after that, Jesus goes away. He goes off to Capernaum in an effort to get away from the crowds and the fame and people going after him a little bit because they were looking for him for the miracles. And so Jesus needed to get away, and he goes and he delivers this message to the people in verses 25 to 59. So I'm just going to hit verse 35, and it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He goes on to explain to them that eternal life, and through him, they will never go hungry. And that his will is that none will ever be spiritually hungry either. And so there's scriptures all over the Bible, the New Testament, the Old Testament, about bread. And there's significance that's placed on this idea of the bread and the word. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So I want to talk first about the Old Testament view of the bread. So in the Old Testament, in Middle Eastern society, the original readers of the Bible, bread making was a process. It was a valued art, almost, like it was. It took time. It wasn't something that we just went to the store and picked up. It's something that they did. They would take time out of their day to do, and it meant everything. Bread was significant. You know, there's Exodus 16, Deuteronomy 8, 3, and that says that man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. All right? And now, second, I want to talk about the New Testament view of the bread. Jesus laying down his life not only gave them bread, but it gave them bread forever because in when Jesus said here in John 6 said he was the bread of life, he knew exactly what he was saying. It's not just something that he just decided to say. He knew what he was saying because of what the bread meant in the Old Testament. He's telling them that he is the bread of life. He is that important staple for them. He is eternal life. He is the way to the Father. And it wasn't so that people would worship bread, but so that they could have something that was common access to everybody, like salvation, right? Salvation is accessible to everybody, just like bread. Matthew 26, as Jesus serves the Last Supper, he says, "This is my body broken for you." And it's a symbol of the sacrifice that he gave once and for all for everyone. And that's what the bread was in the Old and New Testament. So I want to talk about a little bit about what bread looks like today. I think our view of bread has changed a little bit, right? People don't always have the greatest view of bread. They kind of view it as a carb, right? It's kind of one of those things you use as filler. It's kind of one of those things like, I'll eat bread if I have to. And if we view our time with God in the context of church, which is where we come and we meet with God and we have fellowship with believers, it's changed even more. And when I was a kid, if it was Sunday, that meant we went to church. My parents, you know, they were pastors when I was really little. And my parents, they, you know, they're Christians. I've been Christian all my life. If it was Sunday, it meant church. Every Sunday, no matter what. There were some exceptions, but there weren't very many. And I'm so thankful for that in my life because my parents instilled that value of going to church. Even though sometimes it was really hard when you don't sleep the night before, you know, prom. Next morning, we go to church anyways. And so it was great. There were really no other options, you know. You could podcast church. You can do a lot of things on Sunday mornings with your time. You could podcast church. You could watch it on TV. You could be at home. But when we do that, we're missing out on the community aspect of church. The other night, Josh and I were making dinner, and we had forgotten something. So I ran by the store. I had to go to Albertson's to go get it. And I was walking into the store. I actually had passed the bread. And they, you know, when they have those loaves of bread that just come out of the oven and they're just sitting there, those are my favorite, right? There's something about when you walk into the store and you smell the bread, you can't just pass it up. Of course, so I grabbed some and ate it the whole way home. It was great. Come home, there's half a loaf of bread for Josh, and it's all torn apart. But it's kind of like that with church, right? There's something that brings us back week after week. And I hope it's not the donuts, which is bread, but it's not the kind of bread we need in our lives. And I want to encourage you this morning. You're here, which means you're getting it. You're understanding. You guys know the importance of church in your lives. And I remember when I was a little kid and I was still hungry after dinner, my parents would ask me, "Well, did you eat your bread?" And I would be like, "No." So I'd have to eat the bread. So I'm going to ask you, if you are spiritually hungry, are you eating your bread? Are you spending that time, that significant time with the Lord here at church? And if you're not, my challenge for you this morning. The older I get, I find myself cutting out the bread, right? Because if we're going to go out to eat, I'm going to save the room for the stuff that's really good tasting, like dessert, right? But in the Old Testament and in the Word, the bread is a staple. It's a part of our lives that we can't leave out. And there's options. There's tons of other things you can be eating, right? There's tons of other options on Sunday mornings, especially down here by the beach. There's tons of things we can be doing. But if we're leaving out the bread, if we're leaving out that staple in our lives, there's something missing, right? And bread is free, right? We go to restaurants. Last night, Josh and I went to dinner. You know, they bring out the bread. It's free. Salvation is free. Church is free. And it's one of those things that give us eternal fulfillment of our spiritual needs. And I'm not saying that your time with Jesus at home isn't important, because it is. Believe me, you need that time, and that's something Pastor Lori gets to share about today. But that time with our body of Christ, you know, being in mini church, being in service Wednesday nights, being here on Sunday mornings, serving, all those things are part of our time with Jesus. And the older we get, the easier it is to skip the bread. And the busier we are, we can skip the bread. You know, well, it's okay. This week I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to come to church this week because I got things to do. But it comes down to it. It's a choice. And it's a choice to skip their bread. And my prayer for you today is that you guys won't skip their bread. And that as you share with others the importance of church in your life, they'll see it. And that you guys will, our church, we will never be spiritual hungry because we will be seeking the bread. And so I want to introduce Pastor Lori, who I've known for many years. And she's an amazing, incredible woman of God. And I'm excited for what she has to share with you this morning.
Well, speaking of more important choices, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 10 today. And I want to tell you about something that happened in our past. Years and years ago, Jim and I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and he worked for a group called the Imperials. And back then, we had the ability to travel with the group, even though we had two small kids. And on one of those tours that we went on, we went to a place in Oklahoma City called Cathedral of Praise. And the Imperials were scheduled to do a concert, and I use that word lightly because they were ministers of the gospel, and every time we did a concert, we were able to do ministry time with them. And so I was really excited that I was there, my kids were there with me, and we were so blessed. That night, the Spirit of God was so heavy there, and the pastor got up during one of the breaks, and he said, Lori, Jim, why don't you come up? The Lord has a word for you. And we were like, oh my goodness, this is really embarrassing. This is weird. And so Jim and I were standing there like this, and the pastor was laying hands on us, and I kind of saw what was happening to Jim. He was kind of going like this, and before you know it, he was flat on the floor the whole time. And the pastor spoke a word over me. He said, Lori, no more Martha, but Mary. And I went, oh, okay. And then he went on to say, you know, the Lord really wants you to pause and just spend more time with him. He wants you to go deeper, and he wants you to just settle in his presence. And I went, okay, because, you know, I spend every day with the Lord. Every morning it's coffee, the word, and prayer. Those are non-negotiables. By the way, those are a good choice in the morning when you wake up and you say, okay, Lord, what should I do? Coffee, the word, prayer. Good choice. So that was interesting, and it was one of those moments that becomes a turning point in your life where you've heard directly from God and you kind of consider what he said. So I started thinking about it. What do you mean, God? Is there something I need to cut out of my life? Is there something that I'm doing wrong? Because back then, I was pretty much a perfectionist. And this church right here knows all about perfectionism. Everything had to be so-so. Everything had to be in its place. My kids, they had to be on top of things. And they were homeschooled, so I had a lot of activities that I did with them. Art lessons, karate, science classes, PE classes, you name it, we did it because I did not want them to be one of those weird homeschool kids that didn't know how to plug into society. They were cool. But we were very busy. And so I was asking the Lord, what do you mean by that? What exactly is it that you're trying to say to me? So today I've kind of wrestled with it, and I'd like to share with you exactly what I feel like the Lord is telling me. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Way to go, Martha. You're known to be hospitable. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Many of us identify with Martha, which we can say is represented by the picture of a kitchen. That's where things get done. That's often where people get scolded, too, because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, Martha, kitchen. On the other hand, Mary, let's say she's represented by a living room. It's a place where we go, we hang out with people, we relax, we enjoy fellowship, we watch TV. That's the place where Jim and I have our quiet time in the morning. Going back to that little glimpse of time with Martha and Mary, Mary was defying all the cultural norms of that day. Back in that day, she was sitting at Jesus' feet in the posture of one who's a learner, learning from a teacher. And women were not normally schooled, certainly not in the ways of the law and religious matters. So that was highly unusual. So I think Martha felt like she was within her rights to correct her sister and put her in her place, which was in the kitchen. That's where Martha was. She was busy serving. There's really nothing wrong with that. She was the hostess with the mostest, right? However, what was wrong was she was distracted, and she became frustrated with her sister. Her joy was gone. After all, Jesus was in her home, and she was so busy trying to get things done that she forgot Jesus was in her home. She was making doing things a priority instead of making the priority the people that she was doing the things for. My heart goes out to Martha. I felt like her during the Palm Sunday Luau. Remember that in 2014? That was a lot of fun. And boy, oh boy, that was a lot of work. And while I was stressing out, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, I got halted right in the middle of stride by Donna Chaffee. She grabs me in one of her bear hugs, and she wouldn't let me go. And I almost wanted to punch her because I was so pissy. And Donna just held on to me. And she said, "I'm so glad to see you." And that caused me to pause and recognize, hey, I'm here for her. I'm here for the rest of you. I'm not here to get things done. They'll get done. We have lots of help. You know, we need people like that to run interference for us sometimes when we get off track. Back to the situation with Martha and Mary. When we get caught in what Joanna Weaver in Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World calls the performance trap, we feel that somehow we have to make our love for God evident by doing great deeds for him. Basically, we rush past the intimacy of the living room to go and prepare food for him in the kitchen. We do awesome projects. We launch great ministries, all, of course, that are done in his name. Yet in the process, we run right over the people who we love and want to be a blessing to. You see, God's kingdom is the paradox. In the world, we're judged by performance, while the Lord desires relationship. The world pushes us to be all that we can be. And the Lord whispers, "Be still and know that I am God." He isn't looking for workers. He's looking for sons and daughters. The closer we get to the Lord, the greater we see his heart for the world. And so we begin to serve, not because we want accolades, but because it pleases him. And when we do it to the least of these, we're doing it to him, for him. Speaking of spending time in his presence, Bill, you're going to want to open your eyes for this one. Every day I come to work, and I'm going to try not to cry. And, well, the first time it happened, Doreen was laid out flat on the stage, and I thought she was dead, so I screamed, "Doreen!" And I ran up to her, and she was like, "Oh, hi." And I'm like, "Don't do that." She was having her quiet time right here, and she has it every day at the stage. It's all cleared off. And so I walk in, and she's either leaned up against the wall or she's flat on her back looking up at the cross. And I've really come to enjoy those times because I stop, set my purse down, and I sit here on the stage and I talk to her. And she has so many nuggets of wisdom to share. And as you can see at her Bible, almost every word in her Bible is underlined. There's little notes. if you open up her journal, she has to write double lines because she's got so much she has to write down. That's what it looks like when you're spending time with God. Your Bible looks like that eventually after decades. And she's been such an example to me of what it looks like to have somebody spend time with God. I believe that what they're facing, the transition that they're facing, and all that happens beyond is going to be okay. It's going to be fine because they've spent time with the Lord. They've gotten their marching orders, and they're moving ahead, and they can be very, very confident that they've heard from God. And by the way, I just want to shout out a special thanks to all of you that worked with Nails in His Hands at Dorian and Bill's yesterday. If you did, could you just kind of raise your hand? Thank you so much on behalf of the Rashes for all that you did. It was such a blessing to them. It's when we spend time in God's presence that we receive the grace that we need to get our job done. God promises in Matthew 11, 29 to 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we are doing something great, but we're copying a stinky attitude when we're doing it, the end result will be that what you were trying to accomplish will not be appreciated by anyone. All they'll remember is your rude behavior. Which room do you find yourself in? Kitchen? Living room? Are you in the labor mode or the listen mode? Are you concentrating on achieving rather than genuine affection? Is your mindset more on work rather than welcome? Well, what if the better choice is not to neglect one or the other? We don't need to limit ourselves to being in the kitchen like Martha or being in the living room like Mary. No, what we need to do is live in an open concept home where one room runs into another, where service flows out of our devotion to the Lord and our love for others. It's then that we can truly be an extension of Jesus. We stop being critical of others and judging their behavior and instead allow ourselves to be an example through our loving attitude and acts of service. We'll draw people to the gospel instead of repelling them by our harsh judgments and our finger pointing. So, my challenge to you today, Hope Chapel, is to tear down the walls that divide your life and instead spend quality time beginning in the presence of the Lord and then moving out to obey His marching orders for the day. That is the better choice. I'd like to invite Josh Ortega up. He's our youth and worship director.
I'm just going to take this microphone right here. Well, you've heard some really good messages thus far from Pastor Allison and Pastor Lori. One being from Pastor Allison that you have the importance of church, and then the other from Pastor Lori being the importance of your quiet time and serving the Lord. So you have these two topics, and mine is going to be finding your purpose. Now you think, what does that have to do with what they all said? Well, we'll find out later. So you may be thinking sometimes, and I know I've been there before myself, what am I doing with my life, or what am I going to do next, or where am I going, that kind of a thing. And back when I was younger, when I was in high school, and if you know me growing up, Allison knows this too much, if you've talked to me more than 5 minutes, I'll eventually bring up the topic of sports, specifically baseball. And so that was what I wanted to do my whole life. It's literally what I wanted to do. I did everything. I studied it. I played it. I would analyze it when I was watching it, anything. That's what I did. It's what I wanted to do. It's what I thought I was going to do with my life. I thought this was my purpose, to play baseball, to pitch in the major leagues for the Dodgers. Yes, the Dodgers. That's my team. And, well, that's good too. Angels are awesome too. I won't lie. And so, And so basically, when I got to about my sophomore year in high school, I started feeling a real pull towards the Lord. I went to camp that summer, and God really spoke to my life that I was going to be in ministry. And so I really started feeling a pull towards serving the Lord, and that's when I really got my calling on my life, and I knew that baseball wasn't a part of that anymore. And I thought, well, this is kind of terrible. This is, what am I going to do here? But I realized that the Lord was where he was calling me from, and that's where so I'm going to go over three things. One is that it comes from the Lord, your purpose comes from the Lord. Two is that it's not of this world, and three, it's not self-serving. So we're going to start with that it comes from the Lord. We could tell in Psalm 57, verse 2, it says, I cry out to the God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And it's also, we see a little bit of that in 1 Timothy 1:9. We see that it is from God that fulfills our purpose. When I was in high school, the first thing that I heard was from the Lord. I heard from God that I was supposed to be in ministry, that baseball was not where it was at for me, boo-hoo for me, and that really I was supposed to be serving the Lord. Now, I did not know in what capacity yet, and I eventually found that out. I thought it was going to be music for a time, and then God said, uh-uh, and said, you're going to be in youth ministry. So here I am doing both, which is great. The only thing I'm missing is baseball, so hopefully that'll come sooner or later, but we know that our purpose comes from the Lord. We know that the Lord will speak that to us. We know that it is not of this world, which is point number two. And in Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we know that we have to be transformed, but not of this world. Not transformed by what? This world? No. We be transformed by the renewing of your mind from the Lord. It is not from this world. We know that. It is not from this world. We do not get our purpose from this world. We also know that is what? Not self-serving. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We don't, when we get our purpose, it is not self-serving. We don't do things for ourselves. We do things for others. We have humility in our serving. And being humble allows us to serve. It gives us a positive attitude when we serve. Because think about it, if we're going around and we're saying how great, I walk around saying how great I am, are you going to want to listen to anything I have to say? I hope not. Because it's not for my own gain. It is for your gain. It is for the gospel, for the gain of the Lord. That's really what this ministry and life is all about. It is for the glory of God. Amen? So what do we know from these three things? That it comes, that our purpose comes from the Lord, that it's not of this world, and it's not self-serving. We know that purpose only happens when you give up yourself and do the things for others that are according to God's will. That's when purpose happens. Purpose happens when you give up yourself and do things for others, for the Lord, in the name of the Lord. So at this time, I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to get into a little bit of ministry time here in a second. But I just wanted to kind of end with this little point, is where do we find that purpose? So it's when we find our God. It's when, as Lori said, that we become a Mary instead of a Martha. Our first thought is to be a Martha, but we need to spend that time with the Lord. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is affirmation from the Lord in our purpose. This is God saying, I had a purpose for you all along. But you have to find God first and spend time with the Lord in order to find that purpose. And when we give up ourselves and we become a servant of the Lord, that's when he gives us our purpose, and we can serve other people. We can become Martha too. It blends together, just like Pastor Lori said. It's when those things blend together. And it also, as Pastor Allison said, it's when we find our church. This is affirmation from fellow believers and leadership and everything like that. Pastor Allison talked about how we have to make those choices to be in church, to get our church and to get fellowship every week and during the week. It's not just about the alone time. That's very important. It's important to have that alone time, but it's also important to serve in a church, to go out and serve. This is when we become like Martha, being doers of the word and serving others. So as I mentioned, it is only when we only find our purpose when we give up ourselves, we seek God, we find a church, we get plugged in, and we serve others. That's when God gives us our purpose. We may walk through life not knowing what we're doing, not knowing where we're going, thinking we're going one place, and we're going to end up going another. That's what happened with me in baseball. I thought I was going to be a baseball player my whole life. I really did. What I wanted to do, I picked my college that I wanted to go to. I obviously picked my team I wanted to play for. But that wasn't what God had in store for me, because that's what I thought. That was self-serving for me. I wanted to be in, you know, all the important games. I remember when I was a kid, and my dad had this pitching mound that he set up for me in our side yard, my parents' side yard. It's not there anymore. But he built this for me, and we always did this drill. It's this little joke my dad always liked to tell people, that when I was a kid, he would say that I was pitching in Game 7 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium, bottom of the ninth, against the Yankees. Because, of course, when I was growing up, it was all about the Yankees and Dodgers, especially when my dad was growing up. And he'd say, you know, Babe Ruth would come to the plate, or Mickey Mantle would come to the plate, or someone. And we get two outs, and then I'd start pitching more, and I'd get real nervous, especially when Reggie Jackson would come up to the plate. And I'd start pacing, and he'd be like, Josh, what's the problem? I was like, Dad, Reggie makes me nervous. And I got really into it. I really wanted to do this. It tells you, I really wanted to do this. But I knew that God later in life had a different plan for me. It is when I stopped thinking about myself and all that glory of being in Game 7 of the World Series, as much as I'd still like to do that. It's really when I gave that up and I gave up my own desires and put my desires in the will of the Lord that I was able to see what my purpose was in life. I was able to see, if we can bring down the lights right now, I want to call up, we have some people that are here for prayer, and I like to call them up right now and just give an opportunity for all those who want to come forward and receive prayer. If you don't know where you're supposed to be, if you don't know where you're going, you could be my age, you could be in high school or junior high, you could be in elementary school, you could be in college, you could be later on in life. It doesn't matter. The Lord uses everybody. And if you want to find out what that purpose is for you, I encourage you, come forward right now. Seek the Lord. Pray. Find people to affirm you in your church. Let the Lord affirm you in your prayer time. So we're going to do one last song here before we send you off with a prayer. And I encourage you right now, come forward. If you feel like, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, or I want the Lord to show me what to do next. If you're seeking for something for the Lord to do next, come get prayer. We're going to play one more song, give some time for that, and then I'll come back up and release you. So let's go ahead and play this one last song. We're going to allow some time to continue with prayer if anyone still needs it after we release here. But I'm just going to pray off you and release you to spend the rest of your Sunday, hopefully with the Lord, hopefully with fellowship here before you leave. We all know that's so important. So, Lord, thank you for your word, God. And thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, and that you're with us always, God. And we just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you speak to everyone and just let them know where they're going and why they're going, Lord. You speak your will into our hearts, Lord, that we may know your will and that we may fulfill your will, Lord, and just praise your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're released.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.